All right, I'm going to jump quickly into the Word. This is part two of the parable of the banquet where Jesus has been invited to a Pharisee and just a house to have the Sabbath meal. And that usually finished around 6 o'clock. And then they would invite people, just like we do after church, to go out to eat, to go places, to do things. And it was common experience for the Jews of Jesus' time to have Sabbath meals. So you'd invite certain friends, you'd invite people over. And as Jesus is traveling from town to town and village to village, oftentimes he's invited as a guest to a Sabbath meal. And sometimes there are people there that wanted to hear what he had to say. Sometimes people wanted to be healed and be in his proximity. And sometimes the religious leaders wanted to find more reason to come against him, to condemn him, to ostracize him. And so that whole dynamic was going on. Last week, I want you guys, if you weren't here or you didn't listen to the message, listen to the first part of the meal. Because at this house, it was at a house of a prominent Pharisee, which means he was a mucky muck among the religions. Mucky muck is an old word that means somebody of great importance. And so you newer, you younger people might want to use that to just impress your friends with old school terminology. Anyway, he was invited to this house for the reason of further condemning him. So in these gatherings, in these Sabbath feasts, it's very much like our time. You want to get close to the host. People go for multiple reasons. Well, oftentimes when you're around the elite, because these were the religious elite, and they would gather together. These were the people who were moneyed and wealthy and had power and position. So to be invited to the house for a person would want to be able to do that. So they could rub shoulders with the power structure that's there and be able to get close. And where you sat at the table was important. The closer you could get to the host, you were in a better position power-wise, connection-wise, than being anywhere else. So there was always this jockeying. Now, they invited Jesus, but they wanted to trick him, so they brought in a crippled dude who would have never been invited to this gathering for multiple reasons. And then Jesus goes, while they're hobnobbing, just like any other meal, you don't just walk into somebody's house and go immediately to the dining room and start eating. You hang around, you talk, you have hors d'oeuvres, you go to charcuterie table. I know I do that on purpose. No, I don't. I really have a hard time pronouncing that word. Charcuterie? Yeah. It shows you where I hang out. And we get the 10 packs of Taco Bell table. Anyway, so they're doing this, and then Jesus, they bring this guy right in front of him, and he heals him. You can hear about all that story. Well, there's a second part to that that whole scenario. Now, Jesus comes and sits down. And so everybody's seated at the table. And since Jesus is his special guest and he's already tweaking these people's mind, probably not a good word to use around here, messing with people's minds understanding, they're already against him. But he gets the seat of honor next to the prominent Pharisee. And so Jesus is sitting there and he's watching the dynamics take place and he's seeing who's there. And he knows everything. He's already messed with them by healing this crippled person. Then he sends him away because he goes, I'm not worried about you being in this feast. I have a feast. So we pick up that story. And so Jesus in verse 11 says this of chapter 14 of Luke. He's looking around and he says, for those who exalt themselves, they'll be humbled. For those who think they're better than everyone else, God will do things to bring them down to level ground, that they are humans like everyone else. And then he says this, and those who humble themselves, those who recognize their common humanity with others, they're neither greater than nor less than, they're part of. He says, they who live that way will be lifted up by God. They will be blessed. Then he turned to the host. So now they're sitting. He's already spoke this. Then he turns to the host who is holding this big banquet with the who's who of that area. And he says this to him. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back. You know, you're doing it for this. You got this connection. You're going to get paid back for that. And that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, like the guy just healed, the lame and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. That is a mass, is an insult to these people. And he's talking to the host and everybody else around that is within earshot hears this. And the silence becomes deafening. You ever been in a situation where someone says something and the whole place is awkward now? And then there's a deadly silence. And how uncomfortable that is. That's what was going on. You know, I'm sure there was somebody at the farther down that heard it. And I just eat. I'll just move. Everybody else, the host is glaring at him. You just fronted me off. You put me on blast in front of everybody. You put all of us on. It just gets dead quiet. And then there's always that one person who breaks the awkward silence. Hey, how about them Rams? Been hot lately. Man, it's been really hot. And they interject. You know what I'm talking about? That one person that cannot take the awkwardness, cannot take the silence. There's always that person that if things get silent, they got to start talking about something. So he jumps in and he changes the conversation to something that everybody could agree with. Lighten it up. You just messed up the whole dinner. And so this is what, hearing this in verse 15, hearing what's going on, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. This is awesome and awkward, but boy, it's going to be good eating when we get to heaven. And his thinking is everybody's going to agree with that because these are the people who will be at that banquet. This is, he's changing the atmosphere. He's causing the vibe to be different. And this gives Jesus an opportunity to address that. But before he does, Jesus knows where he got that. He got it from the Old Testament. These are schooled, theologically sound people in the Jewish faith. That passage, that understanding of the banquet in heaven comes from Isaiah 25, starting with verse 6. And this is what it says. On this mountain, the mountain that's in Jerusalem, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. There will be a number of alls in here because the religious leaders thought it was just them and whatever lay people did good enough. They could come to that too. But the scripture that they have studied, gone over, broke down since they were this big, says something different than their perception of what it says. It says, it will be a banquet of aged wine. What does that mean? Expensive wine. No Boone's Farm there. The best of meats and the finest of wines, even better than the aged ones. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples. The sheet that covers beyond that to all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of the people from all the earth. He will take those that walk in disgrace and shame, ones that would never really be at that kind of banquet. He will deal with that and give it to anyone. And this just isn't any banquet. He says, the Lord has spoken, and in that day, they will say, all those people there at that banquet, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. And that word saved means he healed us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation, his healing. Now, a banquet, that type of banquet in the Greek is a mega banquet. A banquet that lasts for days and can go into weeks. And all the Jews sitting there, all the religious leaders, they understood what he's talking about. This massive banquet. Like when we have a wedding, we have a reception, and 4 hours later, you stumble home. But this is going to go on and on and on. It's going to be massive. That's what that guy was referring to. Hey, you think this banquet with these guys is good, Jesus? Man, it's going to be awesome when we're in the kingdom and eat at that banquet. That opens the door now for Jesus to enlighten people. Jesus replied, going back to Luke 16, Jesus replied to this guy about that banquet. And he says this, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. In this story, the man who is preparing the great feast at his house has been sending out invitations to many people. The man who owns this house is God the Father. That's the analogy we will see. And he has sent messengers, the Old Testament and the prophets, to this select great group of people. And he's been handing out invitations. The Messiah's coming. The banquet's going to happen. The party's going to happen. The banquet. And one other thing we need to understand about this is it's going to be a good party. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be amazing, filled with joy and fun and fellowship. It's going to be an amazing banquet. Our God is a God that likes to celebrate. And it hurts him when his kids oftentimes can't find any joy in anything. It's like, get your eyes up. Get your eyes up. So, he says, he sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests. His servant is Jesus, who came down and said, the Messiah is here. Because they've been waiting for the Messiah. So we have to understand what's going on here. There was no refrigeration in those days. So two invitations would be sent out. Just like we do when we RSVP, you're getting a number of people so that you can prepare the right amount of food. They have no refrigeration. They have no Stater Brothers. They have no store to run to like, oh, we didn't get enough buns. Oh, we didn't get enough potatoes. We got to go to the... Everything they did, they made by hand. They slaughtered the animals depending upon the number of people. That could take days to get that ready. There were no leftovers that could be put in the fridge and last forever. It was a big deal. So they would send out the invitations, and all these people here in this story, it's a normal story. Yeah, this is how it works. It's a normal story. You send out the invitations, and remember when God delivered the Israelites from the bondage of the Egyptians, and after he took them out of there, he took them to a mountain. He said, hey, you guys, choose this day. Do you want to be with me? You want me to be your God and be my people? I'm sending an invitation to you. I've already done this for you. I've given you credibility about me and what I do. So do you want to be with me? And then the people would respond, yet, and they did respond saying, yes, we're all in. They accepted the invitation. So they're now waiting for the second invitation, which is everything's been prepared for this amount of people. Tell them time to come. And the one delivering that message was Jesus. I'm the Messiah. I'm here. I'm here. The banquet is ready. What did we study a couple weeks ago in Luke? Jesus said, I am the door to the banquet. I am the one that lets you in. I am the good shepherd. I shepherd my people. I will sit there until all that come in through the door have come in. Then I will get up at the proper time and close it. And then all who are in the banquet are there. So he's telling this story. And up to this point, it's just a normal story. They get all that. Yeah. But he shifts gears on him here. And he says, when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready, come. And in those days, when that was done, they didn't give dates like we do now. They didn't, you know, because based on the invitations, that's how long it would take to prepare a meal, animals to be slaughtered. They, you know, it ain't just baking bread. They got to get the grain to grind to make the bread before they cook it. You can't keep it forever after that. Everything was a labor to make happen. And when that labor's done, the servant goes and says, come on now. So people would be doing their regular day and they, oh, I've already committed. And in that culture, when you commit, it is absolutely socially unacceptable to not go to what you commit to. Anybody in here ever not go to what you've already committed to? Because when the day comes, on the 15th, we're going to do this. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. The 15th comes. Where am I sick? What's not feeling right? What is wrong that I don't have to go? What excuse can I give them? And I know that in their culture was not acceptable. You just ostracized yourself. You just put these people in a trick bag. So then Jesus shifts gears and he says, but they all began to make excuses to not come to the banquet. That statement alone would horrify the guest. What? They said they would go and they're not going to go when it's ready? Absolutely. What rude people are these? Where are they? He says, one said, I have just bought a field and I must expect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. That one's so rude, he doesn't even say I'm sorry. So what's going on here? The people listening to that would say, that's the lamest excuses we've ever heard. See, their real estate transactions are very much like ours. In our day and age, that would be like saying, I just bought a $4 million house on the phone. I've never even seen it. In that day, when you bought a field, before the sale was finalized, you would go and inspect the field. Where is the water coming from? Is this good grazed land? Is this good farmland? What is the purpose of me buying it? How much am I buying size-wise, acreage-wise? What am I doing? You would have thoroughly investigated it. Then you would have, dealt with the negotiations to buy it. You'd have to do the paper. They had paperwork too. So people listening to this story said, well, that's the lamest excuse I've ever heard. Then the other guy says, hey, I just bought 10 yoke of oxen. I bought 5 pairs of oxen and I need to go check them out. You bought oxen and you didn't know if they were lame, if they were strong, if they could work together. What they would do in that day is go to where the oxen were, And look at the quality of the beast, how well they worked together, how they acted. They would watch them trench the land. And
I know.
It's tough. How it would work and see how that they didn't just buy these. That'd be like us in our generation. I just bought five cars for $180,000. I don't know what kind of cars they are, and I hope they start. That's what they're saying in that time frame. It's unheard of. It's unreal. What? What? And then the other one says, I just got married. In their culture, a woman dictates nothing. You don't break a social engagement like to a massive mega banquet because you got married. You bring her along to the banquet. So imagine the host looking at him, hearing the story, everybody else being horrified that these people would do that. Unbelievable. Well, guess who the people he's talking about? The religious leaders. Why would they not want to go to the banquet? Everybody's got reasons to not go places. What was theirs? Why would they come up with such lame excuses about all that? It's because they saw who else was invited. The all part. They wouldn't even eat with the desirable, the not wanted people. They wouldn't hang with the sinners. It's the things they talked badly about Jesus. He ate at sinner's house. He talked to a tax collector. He hung out with the destitute. He put his arms around the sick. He defiled himself by talking to prostitutes. Who is this guy? Surely God would not invite them to go. So then Jesus continues the story, and he says this. In verse 21, the servant returned. In other words, the servant is Jesus, and he was crucified. And he rose and went back to his Father in heaven. And he told his master, the one having the banquet, what they had said. And his master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets, alleys of the town, and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The ones I invited from the beginning, the Old Testament people, they wouldn't come. Jesus came. He rose from the dead. He said, go into all the world and preach and invite them. He's inviting the Gentiles, the down and outers, the messed up. He says, go and give them invitations. And tell them they can come. I want them to come to my feast. They're welcome to come. They're the broken ones. You know, sometimes it's hard for the broken to feel they can be accepted by God. They feel like they've done too much, too long, too bad, so sad. They've done enough. They have nothing to offer. They look at the up or class. Man, I drug out that word. They looked at the upper class. They looked at those who got it together and they say, those guys are worthy to go. Look at my life. That's really not for me. I got too much shame and guilt and I messed up too long. Sometimes it's hard to get people to realize that the invite. That's why your testimony is so important. No, you can come. There's an invite here. So imagine these people hearing this and going, whoa, this story. Then he says this. After the servant had done these things, how did he do it? He sends He sends his new messengers to do it that have already received an invitation, have already been accepted, are the crippled, the blind, and inviting other crippled and blind and lost. After that servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes, go out to the outer nations, go out to the far places. See, we can be far and still be here. We can be far, lost, far away, and still yet God wants to invite. He says, so the master said, go into the far country lanes and behind the hedges, behind those that hide, and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. The infinite God has an infinite table. I want it full of people. See, heaven's going to be full. It's going to be full of people that were invited but had nothing in and of themselves to make themselves worthy to be invited. Give them the invitation and say, listen. And that word urge means to convince. Because why? It's hard for some people to be convinced that they're invited. It's hard for people. He says, urge them to come. Don't stop giving them grab and give. Don't stop visiting them under the freeways. Don't stop inviting them. Invite, invite. Share your story. Share what God has done in you. You're humble. You're like them. You're not above them. You're not below them. You is one of them. He says, those are the ones. Give them the invitation sealed in my blood. It's for them. It's because I love them. But they have nothing to offer. Nobody comes in because they have something to offer. The banquet's been prepared. The host, Jesus, isn't the one that's sending the invite in the house of his dad. And there's a room in there for, there's enough room for everybody. Everybody that'll receive the invitation. See, but we're kind of like them too in ways. Because from the time we get the first invitation till the time we get to the banquet and then hobnob around in the banquet till all those that will come, then we sit down just like a regular dinner. That's the way it'll be in the kingdom of God. The great banquet will not happen till all those arrive. And there's a lot of room. There's a lot of room. And it will be full. It will be full. So there's two groups he's talking here. And then he says this in verse 24. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of the banquet. Because why? It's for all people. If you think you're too good for that, you religious leaders, you religious people, you pride-filled people, you think you and God are on the same page and you live without caring about the other people, you won't get the slightest taste. You know what that means? You won't get crumbs off the table. That's a gnarly thing. I bet dinner got really awkward then. I'm not hungry. I think I'm going to go puke. Or glaring at Jesus. Can you imagine the hate they have towards that guy? How dare you put us on Blast Street? We work hard to earn our spot at that banquet. We work really hard. These other people, he's going to let them in? I don't even want to go to that banquet. I don't even want to. It's interesting. I was talking to Mike McCann, who does Moe's Bag. Yesterday at the breakfast, we were sitting near each other, and I was, you know, it's just amazing the things we do with our people. And he was telling me that he goes to Food Finders, and he goes to the food banks and you know, collecting food. And he sees lots of other churches there. And he says, Joe, I hear over and over and over again that churches don't want to do the food banks anymore because it keeps attracting a crowd we don't like. I said, Mike, are you kidding me? He goes, no. I go, man, that's the saddest thing I've heard. That's so sad. So sad. So sad. Well, that's what was going on here. But then there's others of us in between the invite to this banquet. We get disappointed in the way God moves. It's a long wait. And we get tired of waiting, and life deals us a hand we don't want to play. And junk happens and disappointments happen. And why are you allowing this, God? And why doesn't this ever get fixed? And how come you don't heal me? And sometimes between the invite that we've received and the fulfillment of that, we go sideways because it's not working the way we thought it should work. And the banquet seems so far away. So far away, and I'm so consumed with right now. And I'm looking after my yokes of oxen. And I'm looking after my stuff. And I'm a workaholic. And so, you know what the beautiful thing is? Jesus said, if you hold the invite, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even though your faith may falter, mine won't. And you will get there by the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll get to the banquet. You've got the invite. It's been sealed. You are in. But I want you to live a life of purpose between the receiving of the invite to the banquet. There's a purpose for you. God, this world needs what you have. We have to be about urging others. And our testimony and being able to walk through the suffering, the trials, the changes, all those things are part of it. And God tells us that's part of the invite. Listen, I understand pain. I understand childhood wounds. I understand trauma because I've walked in it. And yet God is still faithful. He's still there. It's still worth staying the course because there's something bigger. And that testimony is the writing in the letter, in the invite. It matters. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I can show you how to deal with that because I've dealt with it in my life. You don't have to be that way. So listen, we're in one of two groups. We're in the group that has the invite, and sometimes we can get lost. We can get lost and through our disappointment, like the religious leaders. Hearing Jesus tell that story, that's extremely disappointing to them. That's a paradigm that they can't accept. They can't grasp it. It's not. And so they're going to chase other things to fill that. See, the only way that changes is when we get to the place of understanding that if I seek first the kingdom of God, he's promised to meet all my needs. He's promised. And we have a good God that'll also meet a lot of our wants. And that he loves us in spite of us, in spite of what happened to us, in spite of what we do. He loves us. Whether we're performing at the highest level possible or we're barely performing at all. It's a Jesus deal. It's a Jesus deal. It isn't a Joe deal or put your name in it. The invite has your name on it, though. And then there's others of us possibly sitting here today that have pushed the invite away because I'm not good enough to get in. I'm not performing well. What can I bring to the banquet? Just like when we have food at our house, what do you want me to bring? What should I bring? In this banquet, you bring nothing. It's all done. And whatever you've done will be rewarded. Not only do we get to the banquet, we'll be looking at each other going, man, that's a nice crown you got. You're all nice and shiny and everything. I mean, what Jesus said is we can't even imagine what has been set up for us. We can't even imagine what it's so big and beyond and immense and amazing and so joy-filled. Then he will take all the tears and there'll be no more tears ever. God, what a great day that'll be. Yeah, it's going to be a good day. And that banquet goes on for a long time. You know, we can play musical chairs and still have a seat at the banquet. And he will get up as the host and serve us. We don't even have to push to get near him. He's getting near us. He'll sit next to us. He'll talk with us. Man, we'll be treated at his banquet as the VIPs. That's our God. Why? Because we're his kids and he's so happy to see his kids. He'll be so happy. And he'll know. Just imagine the joy of any parent never seeing their child suffer again. Oof, we work hard not to have our kids suffer. And to know that they'll never suffer again. That's what he thinks about us. They'll never suffer again in any way. And all their suffering will become a blessing. And so, he says, urge everyone. So I just want to take an opportunity right now, man. If you've never received the invite, I'm offering you the invite today. I'm offering you the invite. The invite. You don't have to do nothing. You just have to receive it. So is there anybody that's never received the invite today, and today's the day you want to be invited to the party? Today's that day. All right, I see. Okay, well, let's just pray. And then for the other rest of us who live our lives and go about, understand this. It's not the God who invited you is also the God who will get you there. And yeah, he has things for us to do, but it's things to flow through us. Yeah, he wants to bless us and all that stuff. But don't think you got to do it all yourself. He's the one. The God that formed you is the God that keeps you, and he blesses. So if you want, pray after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you right now. Hold up your invite. Thank you for the invite. And if you've never received the invite today, this is your invite. I receive the invitation to come into the kingdom of God, bought and paid for by Jesus. And I receive that. Forgive me of all my decisions that I've made that are contrary to that. Wash me. Prepare me for the banquet. Cleanse me of the things that have defiled me. Where I have defiled myself and where others have defiled me. Cleanse me. And then use me to bring invites to others who are dirtied and troubled and don't believe they're worthy to be invited. Use me in my generation to further the kingdom of God. Do it in me, and then do it through me. And all those who agree, say amen. Amen. God bless you guys.